Hello, this is Eric Sinrod at Duane Morris in San Francisco. I'm joined by...
Jonathan Armstrong, I'm live from London.
Yes, and we're back at you with our weekly Tech Law 10 podcast, where across the pond from the United States and Europe, we're trying to explain to you issues of interest where the law and information technology intersect. And Jonathan and I were thinking about discussing today online tracking, if you will. Jonathan, can you tell us a little bit about tracking software and how commonly used it is?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something that I've been living and breathing, I guess, in the last week, 10 days, because of some consultations that are going on in Europe. Basically, the European Commission is closing its consultation on cookies and online tracking this week, and that's going to be followed shortly by a UK government biz study, and we can talk about them a little bit in a minute. But basically what we're talking about is online tracking cookie type software. Usually that's used by businesses to recognize people when they revisit sites that they've been to before, to populate some details for them online to save them having to fill in forms. And it's also the power behind a lot of online advertising these days, which of course funds a lot of social media sites, which we've talked about before on Tech Law 10.
So is this harmless, Jonathan, to the consumer, or are there problems, especially when we're dealing with issues like control?
I think when you get right into the meat of it, as I say, as I've had to do in the last few days, you can see that not all cookies were created equal. I think in my mind, we should draw a real distinction between what we might call browser-side and server-side technologies. So generally speaking, there has been history on both sides of the Atlantic of people using server-side technology. That's technology that lives on the ISP's infrastructure, if you like, and can be used to spy on and profile people without their knowledge. And against that, we can contrast that with browser-side technology. So usually, that's something that users can control more. They can set their browser settings to accept or reject cookies. And generally speaking, to my mind, they're much less harmful than server-side technologies. But I think the issue that we've got is the regulators and the legislators aren't really understanding that subtle difference between what are two very different types of technology.
Sure. Now, what's the impact on the ultimate consumer? For example, you have a consumer that might like to shop on Amazon, and they buy a book about golf. And then next thing you know, as they revisit Amazon, I'm just pointing this out as a hypothetical, whether it happens or not. But let's just say the next time they go to Amazon, you know, they're directed toward information relating to golf, whether it's golf clubs, golf balls, other golf books. Is that positive for the consumer? So the information being directed to that consumer is sort of in their sweet spot in terms of their preferences? Or is it perhaps intrusive, a little bit creepy, and maybe even misjudging the consumer? What if the consumer is buying a golf book for the consumer's father, and the consumer actually hates golf and would prefer to have books on cooking and gardening? What are your thoughts about that?
I think that you're right, that there is a fine line to be drawn, really. I think there's a chase all over the Internet to try and get to narrow casting rather than broadcasting, to speak to individuals online just as if you would speak to them as if they're picking up the phone or you're talking to them face-to-face. And I think that a lot of this technology is speaking to that desire, really. I think most people who use Amazon wouldn't particularly object to the fact that it's storing some information on them and suggesting a good read for them based on something that they've liked in the past. Mm-hmm. But I suspect that a lot of people are more concerned about some of the tracking that goes on. So if, for example, I were to visit a site selling houses, and I'm looking at houses that are of a lesser value than my current property, and they know that information, and they know that I've been checking, you know, 5 times out of the last, 5 days out of the last 7, my online bank account, if they then are predicting that I'm a likely foreclosure victim or subject to repossession proceedings, and then they're feeding me information on that assumption or selling my data to people who can protect me from foreclosure or repossession, I suspect that people would think that that's over the line. But I think the reality is that many of the big providers, once they understand the technology, are really pretty responsible, because I think the industry itself is realizing that if you creep people out, then they're less likely to buy from you anyway. So it's part of the, as well as the legal and regulatory environment, which is toughening up, it's part of that, you know, bond between vendor and buyer. You need that trust network to work, I think, as well.
I teach a lot of classes, both in technological universities and in law schools, and I raise the issue of targeted advertising quite frequently, and I ask the class, and so now it's been across many classes and hundreds of people, you know, how do you feel about targeted advertising, where, you know, tracking attempts to put forward to you, you know, goods and services that are perceived to be in your interest. And I found the vast majority of people are in favor, so long as there is transparency, so long as the consumer knows, or at least has the ability to know, you know, what type of information is being collected on them in terms of their browsing habits and how it's used. When you have a lack of transparency, that's when the creep factor can come in, where all of a sudden something comes to a consumer's attention and they don't really know why, and it might be something that causes them concern or is not in their interest, and then they wonder what's happening behind the scenes, and the world is becoming way too invasive.
I think you're right. I think one of the big issues that we're facing at the moment is that the regulatory regime is an utter mess. As I've said, the European Commission is engaged in a consultation at the moment, then the UK government, and everybody seems to be thinking that cookies and online tracking should be opt-in, or at least the regulators are, but they can't really work out on what that means. One of the things we've been working on is how can you make that sensible in a way that businesses and industry can understand that. You know, how can we meaningfully opt in? And we've got to realize that the internet's rapidly changing and the browser market particularly is rapidly changing. You know, a year ago, the majority of people had Internet Explorer. Now Internet Explorer is the minority. And that change is in less than 12 months. So we've got to understand that all of the technology is changing very rapidly. And obviously for people who want legal certainty, that requires an awful lot of thought to map out where the technology is now as opposed to where it is 12 months ago. But importantly, given that the EU's timescale for change is maybe 3 to 4 to 5 years, what will the technology be able to do in 5 years' time? And that's the truly frightening task ahead of us.
Well, that really is. And as I say to people, you know, technology explodes out of the box constantly at warp speed, and the law is glacial in terms of trying to catch up. And this is always a dilemma. Even when laws are passed or regulators get involved, oftentimes perhaps the solution they're arriving at becomes relatively outdated and obsolete fairly immediately as technology, you know, goes to the next level. So plainly we'll be having more dialogue on this as we go forward. We try to keep these to 10 minutes. We'll wrap this one up right now. We'll try to pick a topic of interest for you next week. If you have suggestions for us or comments or questions, you should certainly get in touch with us. As I've said in earlier podcasts, my email is ejsinrod, ejsinrod, at duanemorris.com, duanemorris.com. And Jonathan, your identification?
I'm JP Armstrong at duanemorris.com, and you can find us both on Twitter and on LinkedIn.
And Facebook. And thank you. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening.